Israel, the Middle Atlantic Center for Civic Health and the Environment, and a 2013 White House campaign statement for our second podcast on climate change that relates to children's health. Welcome, Dr. Mendeson.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
During your previous visit, you briefly discussed the impact of the changing climate. You mentioned that the Mid-Atlantic region will see increases in temperatures, and this will impact children's health in a variety of ways. Can you elaborate on these impacts and tell us a little bit about what you're already seeing in terms of children's health and increasing temperatures?
What we know is that rising temperatures are associated with poor air quality. So as the temperature goes up, the air quality goes down. Part of this is because of the increasing formation of ground-level ozone. Ozone is a powerful lung irritant and can lead to a number of adverse health effects in children, particularly, such as shortness of breath, chest pain when inhaling deeply, wheezing and coughing, decreases in lung function, and also lower respiratory tract infections. Children have also have immature immune systems, which can put them at greater risk for these infections.
What about the very young children and newborns?
Many people are not aware that damage can begin even before children are born. Fetuses aren't able to rapidly clear and detoxify the pollutants that are transferred across the placental barrier, and then it enters their bodies. What we've seen as a result of some of this is lower birth weight, increased infant mortality, deficits in lung function, developmental disorders, including reduced IQ and behavior problems, and in some cases, increased cancer risk, which have all been linked to prenatal exposure to air pollution, which is caused by fossil fuels.
Are there other impacts of climate change on people's health?
Another really important point about asthma, allergies, and respiratory issues is that with the increased temperatures and the carbon dioxide, we're seeing more pollen. And so ragweed enjoys the increased carbon dioxide in the air and the heat and thrive. And so we're seeing longer growing seasons. We're seeing pollen, for example, in the D.C. area as early as February and as late as December. And so people who are susceptible, and more people are, because the pollen is more potent, more allergenic, and the plant produces it more often, are experiencing allergic reactions who typically have not. And one other important point around increasing temperatures is we're seeing increased distribution of insects that can transmit diseases such as ticks. And ticks can carry Lyme disease, and we're seeing an increasing rate among children 5 to 14 years of age. Kids are especially vulnerable because they tend to play outside and low to the ground and can pick up the ticks much easier.
Dr. Anderson, many parents who are listening are probably wondering what they can do to protect their children from experiencing these health issues. What advice and resources do you provide to parents?
In regards to air quality, the EPA has a wonderful website that provides air quality index information. You can actually register to get a text to tell you what the weather's going to be like the following day, particularly for kids who are already suffering from asthma and allergies. It'll tell you whether it's a good day or a bad day for breathing the air. Kids like to play outside, particularly at recess. We need to protect them if we know that the air quality is bad. In regards to insects that carry diseases, we need to make sure kids wear protective clothing, long pants, long shirts, and to check them, particularly for ticks after they've been outside playing, just to do a quick check to make sure they haven't picked up a tick either on their clothing or on their skin.
Dr. Anderson, thank you again for another thought-provoking discussion on this important and timely topic.